tantalk.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Attracts me like no other lover. Something in the way she woos me. I don't want to leave her now. You know I believe in how.
A little bit of something, George Harrison and the Beatles. I think it's pretty appropriate. It's Valentine's Day, is it not? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us on February the 14th. I hope your hearts are warm. We will be talking in a few minutes with Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about what, if anything, Congress and President Biden can do about that stifling inflation vortex that we are currently swirling around in. So stay tuned for that, if you would. And the former director of National Intelligence says there is enough data to support multiple indictments of people trying to connect Donald Trump to Russia. Remember the Trump-Russia probe? We are going to get some thoughts on this. We're going to take a look at it. And the proprietor of the Barber Poll will join us in that discussion, Andrew Ceraci. Stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. And as we said, it's Valentine's Day. But did you know less people are having sex while more divorced people are dying earlier than they should? We're going to examine those two phenomena. We're going to take a look. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 greatest love songs. Oh, yeah, they rank them as well. The top 10 greatest love songs. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, you got to look good on Valentine's Day. Best barber in Tampa Bay. Get over there if you can. Get your hair cut and really impress your sweetheart. They're located in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza on Overcash Drive. It's just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Call for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. Again, 733-3773. Well, we got about 130,000 Russian troops on the border. Now, people are saying, well, Putin's not really going to invade the Ukraine, so why is he amassing 130,000 troops on the border? If it walks and talks and quacks like a duck, it is a duck. Think you got to be ready for trouble. Airlines are canceling flights to the Ukrainian capital. Troops there are unloading fresh shipments of weapons from NATO members. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, the reason that the Biden administration is saying that this invasion is inevitable is because it's a reverse psychology, you see. If you keep telling Putin, we know what you're going to do, well, he's going to not do it to spite you. So there might be some of that going on. In the meantime, the president of Ukraine spoke to Biden for about an hour. And apparently he insisted that the Ukrainians had the country under safe and reliable protection. I hope he's got enough missiles and guns and bullets. you know, they're talking also about Russia, you know, using airstrikes and missiles to come into the Ukraine. Wow. So we'll see where all of that goes. In the meantime, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, he's been, I'll say one thing for, even if you never see Biden on all of this, you know, can you imagine how many times you would have seen Donald Trump during this Ukrainian situation, if indeed it ever occurred? He'd be on there all the time talking with people. How many times have you seen Biden talk about it? You know, how many times? Not very many. And, but they got Jake Sullivan on the talk shows. He's the National Security Advisor. And he said that can't know for sure what will happen in the Ukraine, but he described how it would play out if it did occur. Said if there's an invasion, it's likely to begin with a barrage of missiles and bomb attacks. He says they're never as precise as any army would like them to be, and we don't even know how precise the Russian army would like them to be. So innocent civilians will die. He continued by predicting there would be an onslaught of a ground force moving across the Ukrainian frontier following the bomb attacks. He said, we'll defend NATO territory. We will impose costs on Russia. We will ensure that we emerge from this thing stronger and more determined, more purposeful. More purposeful than we were before. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Putin's doing all of this to get some sort of a concession, to get a guarantee that Ukraine won't join the NATO, or some sort of deal. You know what I mean? Some sort of deal. Anyway, we're all kind of keeping our breath, holding our breath and watching. My thought is if he's going to do anything, it's going to be after the Olympics, not during them. Not during them. Anyway, let's take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this vortex of inflation we are swirling in and what, if anything, the feds can do about it with Ryan Young.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Valentine's Day, a very lovey-dovey day. In the meantime, what are we doing with the cost of everything? I mean, I'm afraid to go back to the grocery store again because every time I go, something else has gone up higher again. And what is the gas price around here now? It's around $3.49 a gallon or something like that. I mean, for Florida, that we just didn't expect that kind of thing. So things are tough, and they're tough all over the place. We're delighted to have back our friend Ryan Young. He is a senior fellow that focuses on regulatory reform, trade policy, antitrust regulation for the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. And he's got some thoughts on what policymakers might be able to do. Ryan, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, and happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, thank you very much, my friend. I hope it's a good one for you as well. You know, we got to get our mind off all this trouble. Good Lord, we got the border, we got the Ukraine, we got inflation hitting a 40-year high, and that's going back to the, I guess, to the Carter administration or around early Ronald Reagan. But in the meantime, we got, you know, I don't know, Biden hardly shows up to talk about anything, but what can he do? What can Congress do?
Congress actually can't do very much. Inflation has to do with the money supply, and that's not under Congress's purview. That's mostly on the Federal Reserve. So that's where the action needs to be. They need to be free of political interference. We have an independent central bank, and that independence needs to be respected, which is something neither party is very good at.
That's true. It becomes a political tool, it would seem to me. Do we have a Fed chairman that seems to be apolitical?
No one gets that high without being political.
So, no. You're right. That's a perfect answer. You can't get there without being political. So,
no, we might be able to do better, but we could also do a whole lot worse.
Well, I was going to ask you about this guy. Do you think he is doing the right thing as far as trying to stay? I mean, we're apparently going to have rate hikes, correct?
Yeah, but not till March.
Okay, so next month we're going to get rate high. How high do you think it's going to be? Just a small percentage or what?
What I think they're going to do is more than they were originally planning. They should have acted already, and they're starting to catch up to this because inflation keeps going up and up. And so they're going to usually do it in 0.25% hikes for the one interest mm-hmm. rate that they cover here. And that's really more to how tightly do they want banks to hew to their reserve requirements. Right now it's very, very loose. They need to tighten that up so banks lend a little bit less.
Right.
That is, it doesn't actually do a whole lot, but it's more of a psychological indicator as far as what the Fed's intentions are. So that's how the market reads that as opposed to the actual consequences of the rate.
Ryan, how did we get here? Why is everything turning so bad? Is it all the pandemic?
It is. It is. Usually when there's a downturn, there's some kind of financial crisis or housing bubble or something, and usually looser money actually does help to address that. But this downturn is not like the others. We had a healthy economy, and then COVID hit. People had to hunker down for a while, and then we're opening up in fits and starts, and we're not all the way there yet, and COVID may yet throw us another curveball. But
yeah.
The underlying economic conditions are healthy, but policymakers are using the same inflationary tools. And the result, when you do that to an already healthy economy, is exactly what we're seeing right now, very high inflation.
You know, I've heard that, like, truckers will say, well, you know, this didn't just occur, these problems we've got right now. They've been going on for years. We've had issues with regulations and this and that. And then supply chainers will say, yeah, we've had these issues of delivering goods and the ports and this and that for a long time, you know, that it didn't just happen overnight. But yet, it all kind of came together to happen, and I guess the pandemic was like the the kindling wood or something for all these other issues to manifest themselves or what?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, supply chains were never perfect; they were running pretty much at capacity. They didn't have spare capacity for something like COVID to come along and disrupt everything. So when it happened, boy, did it happen! And policymakers are going about it the wrong way. They're fighting this battle with the last battle's tools.
Yeah. So the Fed is going to become involved. They're going to tighten the supply of money because we know that we got too many dollars going after, I guess, too few goods, as they say. We're trying to get our product back on the shelves. By the way, is that easing up in any way? Do you think the truckers' situation, for instance, in Canada, apparently is easing up. I didn't hear that there was quite the problem around the Super Bowl with truckers. Unless I missed something, there was not a big deal there. Are things easing up a little bit with the truckers?
Yeah, the ports are where a lot of the action is. And there we still have as big a backlog as ever. And companies are finding ways to route around. Amazon, for example, is chartering its own ships and going to lesser used ports, but there's only so much you can do. And a lot of the problems are with labor unions, a lot of them are with trade restrictions.
So with those ports, we got the goods coming in then. In other words, there's no loss of goods in all of this. We have the goods, but we can't get them to market. Is that right?
That's right. In fact, some of the ports are so clogged that not only are ships waiting offshore, but some ships aren't even bothering to leave Asia to come here.
Really?
They're just going to wait for several months. So when you see that the boats lingering offshore numbers are going down, that doesn't mean that things are getting better. It means boats aren't even leaving in the first place in some cases. So they don't show up in the numbers.
So what is the scenario? We have these ships that are floating around out there in Savannah and I guess in Long Beach and also in L.A. because truckers are not there to take the things off. You know, the trucks aren't there, or is there something between the truckers and the ships? What's going on there?
Worldwide, most ports operate 24/7. Until very recently, ours didn't. They're working at most two shifts a day. And, of course, there's only so much warehousing space that's available for excess containers. And in California, where the worst of the problems are, the quickest you can get a permit is 2 years, and a lot of times it takes 9 years just to build an empty warehouse into which you can put shipping containers. So this is going to take a long time to fix, absent some very needed reforms.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll help address the supply side of the inflation problem. But again, most of it's on the Fed. There are lots of things that Congress can tinker with to loosen regulations and things like that. But really, it's on the Fed, and we need to respect their independence. They can do the right thing if they're allowed to.
If they're allowed to, yeah. So you do mention here, while Congress is mostly powerless over the money supply, or should be, there's still plenty it can do. Cutting it out with the $1 trillion spending deficits would be a good start. Now, we know the Democrats don't want to stop spending other people's money, and trillions of dollars doesn't seem to bother them in the least. Thank God we've had a couple of Democrats that decided against the Build Back Better, or I think maybe you have a different idea, but if that thing had ever passed, that would spike inflation even more, wouldn't it?
It would. It wouldn't be catastrophic. It wouldn't get us to double digits all on its own. But it would certainly add maybe 0.5% to the inflation rate. We have 7.5% right now. It would goose it up to 8 for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly do not need that. And hopefully Democrats catch on during an election year that inflation is becoming a campaign issue. They're bringing it back.
I mean, it would seem to me it's the number one campaign issue. I mean, here's me.
Interest to do the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, if I was going to the poll right now, the first thing on my mind would be the cost of the gasoline I'm putting in my tank. The second thing would be the cost of the food the food that I'm buying. So it would be the cost rise that has occurred, and I would be angry about it. And even if I didn't know much about it, I would still blame the administration that's currently in the White House, you know, maybe take it out on them. And I'm thinking that that's what's going to happen. I mean, the Democrats just seem... They don't even respond, it seems like, to what they can do. Your thought?
Yeah, well, there's party division in their party, same as the Republicans have, and that makes it hard for them to unify around any policy. Like I just said, it's in their interest to do the right thing to rein in inflation, which means cutting back spending, loosening things on the supply side so people can get more goods and services out, loosening licensing restrictions and permits that get in the way between people and production. They can do these things, and then they have to let the Fed do its thing. The Fed is acting timid, mainly because of politics. They have the ability to tame inflation right now, but they aren't doing it.
Wow. We're talking with Ryan Young. He is a senior fellow focusing on regulatory reform, and trade policy, antitrust issues, and we're talking about what policymakers in Washington can do, if anything. So, I mean, is it just going to burn out? Is it going to be like, a whimper at the end? Or Is there going to be some event that's going to turn things around? Are we just going to have to wait for the COVID to become kind of settled, or whatever the word is for, you know, being treated like the common cold?
Eventually, that's what's going to have to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if it's another year or two before that happens. In the meantime, I think inflation is going to be here with us for probably at least the rest of the year, because the Fed doesn't want to end things right now. It wants to take a more gradual step, so it's less jarring. There's some wisdom to that, and that's an open debate.
Yeah,
I'm more of a whip it now person, but we'll see what they do.
And also, I've noticed that they, at least one thing that the Democrats or the Biden administration has mentioned is removing the federal gas tax, which I don't know how much that is, but I guess it's a considerable amount. It would bring down the cost of gasoline. I would suspect that would help a little bit, right?
I believe that's 46 cents per gallon, although I could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
That would help.
That would help. That would lower the price of everything if, you know, trucks are delivering all that stuff and they're paying less for their gasoline. So that means that that would help even with the other products.
It wouldn't do a thing about the underlying problem.
No, it wouldn't. No, you're right. You're right.
Dramatic relief.
You're right. It's not.
Better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. Are there some specific other regulations? I mean, like trucking regulations, or what?
I would say the biggest one is environmental regulations, in part because there's so many of those proposed in the America Competes Act, or whatever that's called now. That has a ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
The Build Back Better would have been disastrous on that front, so luckily that got scuttled.
But that legislation is yet to pass, so it's not really affecting the current inflation, right? I mean, that's in the future, but is there anything they can do with what we got on the books now? Other than, you know, maybe the gas tax suspension?
Yeah. Let me put it this way. There are 1.1 million federal regulations on the books right now.
Oh, my God. Are there really?
They cost just about $2 trillion per year. You pare that back. I mean, their CEI has prepared a list of dozens of rules that we can repeal right now. Congress can do it, and President Biden can sign it today. That would save tens of billions of dollars, create new opportunities for people to find good-paying jobs, to increase production, to help the supply side of things. You have more goods chasing more dollars. It would help inflation while stimulating the economy at the same time.
Yeah, and of course, that is a fairy tale as far as Biden is concerned, because you know he's not going to do that. And I wonder if a Republican was currently in the White House. At least I would think Trump would have looked at those regulations, I would think, if he had been slapped with this inflation problem. I don't know. It would seem to me he would take some action. It just seems like, I don't know, Biden just seems to be missing an action on every front. So, you know, here with the inflation, it's just one more area that it doesn't seem to be, I don't know, they're not taking it very seriously.
No, he's dealing with not exactly a unified caucus, and that presents its own problems as far as getting anything done. He can't do one thing without angering another constituency.
Well, that's true. But he's the president. He's got to take some sort of, you know, stance, you know, and say, look, we got to do this, something here, you know. But he's just, like you say, he's afraid to? Is that it? Because he's going to anger somebody?
Yeah, I mean, just because you're dealt with a tough hand doesn't mean you can drop out of the game. You still have to play it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Ryan, as always, thank you so very much for being with us. Keep up the good work, my friend. I know we will talk again soon.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Ryan Young, Competitive Enterprise Institute. We are going to take our break. And when we come back, the former director of the National Intelligence Agency says there's enough data right now to support multiple indictments in the Hillary Clinton push of trying to find Donald Trump colluding with Russia.
I hear the drums echoing tonight, and she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Valentine's Day. It's kind of cool here in Tampa Bay right now, sunny. I guess it's in the mid-50s, something like that. But we'll take it. We'll take it. Well, former Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe has met with John Durham. He's the special counsel. He's been looking into the Russia probe. He's met with him on more than one occasion, and he has told him, apparently, there is evidence in intelligence to support the indictment of multiple people in his investigation into the origins of the Trump-Russia probe. Now, how many, are you seeing any screaming headlines from the mainstream media on that? I don't think so. But we've got both of the Sorese brothers here. We're going to talk about it a little bit. First of all, I want to wish both of you a most happy Valentine's Day. And starting out with Andrew. Andrew, what do you think here about this Russia probe? Is it going to go anywhere? Is Durham finally lassoing in some of these people?
Well, Paul, I was reading a lot on it yesterday. And, yeah, they've got, no question, a ton of evidence that say Hillary Clinton was paying the people in her law firm to spy on them.
Yeah, that's about right.
Now, the fact of the matter is, if this was the 1700s, early 1800s, they would have been shot at the firing squad. That's treason.
Yeah.
No question about it.
It would not be, it would be hard to miss Hillary if you stood her up in front of one of those brick walls.
But you know what?
Even with a musket shot. Go ahead.
But let me tell you what.
What?
Even though they got this evidence now, that's going to make Hillary even more stronger than the Democrat people. They're going to say, look at that. She was really going after him.
Yes.
That's great.
Oh, wow. We have newfound respect. Angelo, what do you think?
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Valentine's Day. Are you staying warm?
Yeah, it's just like 12 degrees.
Oh, 12 degrees. Get out there and put your sunglasses on. Anyway. So, what do you think? Is Durham finally starting to lasso these people in? Do you think it's finally, will it wend its way up to Hillary Clinton?
Well, I'm sure it will, but nothing will be done because the Democrats are in power, both in Congress and in the Senate and the White House. Nothing's going to happen to these people unless the Republicans take control this November.
Mm-hmm.
It'll put a kibosh on a lot of the stuff that Trump was this and Trump was that and all the stuff that they're going after President Trump now, you know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, it'll open the eyes of the people, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
See how the Democrats have really played dirty all these 4 or 5 years, you know? But nothing's going to happen unless, you know, the Republicans take control. Maybe people can go to jail.
Yeah. Listen to this. This just shows you how conspiratorial she was. The sources on all of this point to one key piece of declassified intelligence, revealing that intelligence community officials within the CIA forwarded an investigative referral on Hillary, purportedly approving a plan concerning U.S. presidential candidate Trump and Russian hackers hampering U.S. elections as a means of distracting the public from her use of the private email server. So it was a wag the dog thing as well, Andrew. She was not only trying to get at, you know, get Trump, but she wanted to, you know, it's disregard the guy behind the curtain kind of thing, right?
Well, Paul, again, it's just going to make her stronger. The Democrats will think that's great. But let me tell you what I did yesterday.
Okay,
you're gonna love this one.
I am?
Do you remember 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, they were holding a rally up on 49th Street at the prison for
yes.
the people for the okay, and you remember there was a guy there that came running across the street with a pipe bomb and three grenade like things in his backpack?
That I don't remember. Go ahead.
Okay, well, he got arrested. Okay.
Thank God.
This guy, he got arrested, all right, with a pipe bomb, three grenades, and a backpack, running toward 150 people. Okay, do you know that they let him out of prison Friday? No bail, no bond.
No, I didn't.
So we went and picketed his house yesterday. He lives in East Lake Woodlands.
Really?
And do you know that this guy is renting this house, and they're from Portland, Oregon?
Really?
All three license plates on the cars were from Portland, Oregon. Oh. He's an Antifa member, and the Democrat judge let him out without bail, without anything, and didn't even charge him.
Okay, so let's go back to this. Pinellas County a prison, which is down on, you're talking about the 49th Street Jail
right.
for the county of Pinellas.
Right.
He goes in there, and some... a Democratic judge that had him released. Is that right?
As far as we know, yes. It was a woman, a female Democrat judge. Now, this guy literally threatened 150 people. The policeman actually stopped him because he looked suspicious running across the street.
But he didn't.
Crowd.
Did he threaten anybody?
It's not that they threatened him. He was running toward the crowd, right into the crowd, and the police stopped
him.
Okay? They stopped him just before he got to the crowd of people. With a pipe bomb and three grenade-like objects.
Okay, so I have a question. As he's coming out of jail, you know how you go back to the little cage where they hand you all of your possessions? Did they hand him back his pipe bomb and his grenades?
You know, Paul,
what?
I don't know about that.
Oh, okay.
But, if you're
well, if it belonged to him, if it's his property.
You will see how disgusting that it is.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. Yeah.
This is a heavy-duty thing that went on here. The guy, he's a domestic terrorist. We were picketing in front of the house yesterday. You wouldn't believe the neighbors' responses. They had no clue.
Wow. Well, good for you, first of all, that you were out there. How many people were out there with you?
There was about 25.
That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
So you knew he was coming out. You knew he was coming out.
Well, we knew he got out.
Oh, you knew he got out. Okay.
Yeah, it was all over. And yeah. George Colella, who's the local president, the president of Bikers for 4 to 5, researched all the information, got the address of the man, everything.
Wow.
And we were there.
Wow.
He's from Portland, Oregon. What does that tell you?
Yeah, good old Portland. God knows why. They seem to be growing some pretty strange people over there. Hey, Angelo, I want to ask you about the trucking situation. Now, you are close to the Canadian border, and of course we know about all of the trucking issues. I don't know if there's a place there where truckers can come over close to Rochester, or not Rochester, but you know what I mean, close to where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going on there? I understand that they have been easing, the truckers have been easing their blockades.
They've been disbanding the blockade up there in the bridge there.
The Ambassador Bridge. Now, that's over between Windsor and Detroit.
They were starting to gather some steam at the time mm-hmm. on the Peace Bridge near Buffalo here, too.
Now, I didn't notice that I heard that there was possibly going to be, and maybe, Andrew, you can respond to this as well, that there was going to be, like, a big truck blockage around the Super Bowl, but I didn't hear much about anything.
Nothing about that either. Nothing.
You didn't hear nothing, Paul, and I don't think the American drivers are going to do this.
Yeah. Well, maybe that was a good thing, because I wonder if it would have alienated more people.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, the people are solidly behind the truckers, and the mandates that they have been going, because if you notice, all these blue states are starting to ease up on their mask restrictions and so forth on the virus.
Here's something on the trucking. Ottawa Mayor Jim Watson, Ottawa, by the way, is the capital of Canada. He says that they've reached an agreement with the leadership of the Freedom Convoy to remove trucks around some of these places where they have been doing these blockades. And then I guess, I don't know if Trudeau, the prime minister, had any direct contact with the convoy. Andrew, do you know anything about that?
They said he wanted to start discussing things with them. They didn't say that he did.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to start talking with them.
Do you think, Andrew, do you think that the truckers here on this side should do any blockades anywhere, or do you think they should just try to...
Paul, you know what I think about our current administration.
Oh, I do.
And I really believe they should shut this country down and take over.
So maybe there should be a convoy to Washington and block...
I don't even think there should be a convoy.
Yeah.
I don't think they should just not go to work.
Okay.
Get the trucks right where they are.
So it'll be even worse with the shelving, I mean, with food and with products on the shelf, right? If no truckers are delivering it.
That's right. You know, people got to get prepared for things because do happen. Things do happen, and let's face it, if the truckers don't shut down our country, our government's going to.
Angelo, do you feel that the truckers should all go on strike?
Absolutely. If the price of gas, everything, the inflation has got to be hurting them immensely. Mm-hmm. I mean, as it is us.
Yeah.
You know, and the price of the goods and services. It's just totally outrageous.
So you would be willing to sacrifice getting anything from the stores because nothing would be delivered for a while.
Here in the United States, I don't think it would last a couple of days because the people in this country are kind of fed up quite a bit of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
At least I think they are.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear all this stuff. That's why this wag the dog now is going on with Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask Angelo, do you think that Putin is going to send the troops over? Is the invasion going to start? And do you think it will occur before the Olympics are over with?
Oh, I don't know. He's liable to do something stupid, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what's our president going to do? Send some more troops on the outside of Ukraine? What's that proving? He's just saying that, we're going to back NATO up. He's going to see if he took Crimea, he's going to take the rest of the Ukraine.
Well, what would you do, Angelo, if you were Biden? What would you do?
What would I do?
Yeah.
I would stand up to him and say, hey, enough is enough. What are you going to do? You're going to do the same thing like...
How would you threaten him? What do you do? Words won't stop him. What would you do that would stop him?
I would put a bunch of troops right there at the border and say, not the border, right there in... we've got our civilians working over there, you know. Don't you dare come into here.
You would put American troops in the Ukraine?
Yeah, I would.
How many would you?
I would stand up to him.
How many would you have to put there if he's got 130,000?
I'd put 100,000 there also.
Okay, got it.
I mean, you can't, words don't mean anything to these people.
No, I agree. I don't think.
Mean anything.
If the nicer you are to him, the more he'll step on you. What do you think, Andrew?
Well, again, like I said before, I believe let the European countries take care of Europe themselves.
So you're more hands-off than your brother.
Let them take care of Europe. But like I told you before, you tell me how many European countries are going to stand behind us if anything happens here. What are they going to send, 100 troops like they do every other time?
Yeah.
Come on. Let Europe take care of Europe.
Well, what's going to happen is we'd end up there anyway, just like we did in World War II. We ended up in Europe anyway.
Well, we don't have to end up there, do we?
But, you know, the end result is going to be that we will, because these people just don't stop.
There is, Andrew. I think Angelo does make a point. Remember that Britain didn't want to get into a war with Germany in 1939, so they ignored the fact that he went into Czechoslovakia, but they had already made a pact with Poland, so... They tried to negotiate, be nice. Remember Neville Chamberlain, the prime minister, went over and came back with a piece of paper, peace in our time, and Hitler thumbed his nose, went right into Poland right after that, right?
Sure as heck.
And, well, Paul, you know what? They need to learn from experience. They should be prepared.
Yeah.
Why these Europe countries got small armies? You know why? Because they know we're there to protect them.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, to hell with them.
Yeah.
Let them build up their own armies instead of building up all their own infrastructure while we have to pay to build our army to go to the...
Well, we've intentionally kept Germany from rebuilding because we feared a third time, right? So Germany has kind of been, let's say, under shackle. But the rest of those countries around them, France, Italy, and you name it, they were a little bit more free to do some things.
That's right. They should build up their army. They should build up their military, just like we build up ours, and Russia builds up theirs, and everybody else. Because the best defense is a strong defense.
Do you think, Andrew? Do you think that Putin is going to invade the Ukraine?
Of course he is.
You really believe that?
Of course, and I believe China's going to invade Taiwan, too,
yeah.
After the Olympics.
Oh, goodness.
But it's like I told you, Putin wants that ground nice and hard. This way the tanks can go right across without sinking.
Wow. Okay, my friends, thank you so much, both of you, for your thoughts, and have a wonderful week. I hope we survive this. And, Andrew, we will talk with you again on Wednesday.
You got it, buddy. Have a good day.
All right.
Take care. Happy Valentine's.
Thanks, Angelo. Okay, thanks, guys. There they go. Wow. Always interesting to talk with those two. All right, let's take our final break. And when we come back, you know, it's Valentine's Day, and yet less people, believe it or not, are having sex these days, while more divorced people are dying earlier than they should. We're going to take a look.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tantalk listeners, Senior Voice America is here. Learn what's affecting Bay Area seniors. From political to financial and health to wealth, it's right here every Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Your hosts, political commentator Tim Rice and financial expert Berkeley Badger will bring current, thought-provoking subject material while taking your calls. Senior Voice America Radio, 42 years of service to mature adults and a proud member of the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the Tantalk Radio Network. Please listen to us. Please, please, please. We love having you around. But if you can't listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, all our shows, you can go to our website and click on the podcast button there, and you can listen to your heart's content, because all our shows are put there by Ed. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. All right. So here is a 2021 General Social Survey. It came out, and it says it's got some troubling statistics. And one potentially, apparently, positive sign about love in the U.S. 26% of Americans ages 18 and up, 26% did not have sex once over the past year. That's a large number. You might think it's just a pandemic effect, it says here, but it's part of a long-term trend. The 2 years with the next highest percentage of adults saying they did not have sex once in a year were 2016 at 23% and 2018 at 23%. Now, before 2004, the highest percentage of people that didn't have sex for a year was only 19%. So that has gone up. I wonder what is going on there. Very interesting. Now, some of this has to do, apparently, with fewer people getting married and an aging population, but it certainly does not explain all of it. Among married people under 60, 26% had sex once a month or less. So it does seem like, I wonder if that's really true. I wonder if that's really true, you know? What do you think, Ed? Do you think that people, for some reason or other, are not as, as intimate as they used to be? Do you think society in general, or what do you ever give it any thought?
Well, lately people have blamed it on the pandemic, of course.
Yeah.
So that's part of it.
That could be part of it.
Finances.
Well, but why would the pandemic do it? Because it would seem to me that if you have a pandemic...
Stressed out.
But you would be staying home more, too, and
I know,
therefore...
But, well, that could be a bad thing if you don't want to be with that person.
Well, that's true.
24 hours a day.
Okay. So, in other words, you can alienate affections a little
sure.
bit. Sure. Okay. Now, divorce. Partnership is at a low. People are just staying together. Let's see here. People that are divorced apparently have an issue with life longevity. Divorced people tend to not live as long. So they're apparently not getting over the relationship to some extent. Well, that would make sense, right?
More stress. Sure.
Yeah, more stress in your life would do that, would it not? Okay, fair enough. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, we had a little football game.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I believe it was called the Super Bowl. And if I'm not mistaken, I think you thought that the Cincinnati Bengals might prevail. I wanted to get your thought on that game.
Well, I mean...
It was an exciting game, wasn't it?
It started out that way, and then it just kind of just hit the dull button after a while.
It did.
And then finally it ended. But, clearly, I don't think the better team this year won. I don't think the Rams were the best team in the NFL. Clearly, last year, the Bucs, and I'm being biased because the Bucs were the best team in the NFL last year. You know.
But they lost to the Rams at the end.
They did, yeah. They did, but I'm just saying I don't think that the Rams are the best team. I'm not for the Rams because... The Rams don't really have a fan base. The NFL stuck that team out there a few years ago in L.A. because they didn't have a team in the L.A. market. They stole them out of St. Louis and put them out there. And to hear fans after the game saying, oh, we needed this. We've been waiting so long. Come on. You waited, what, 3 years? Come on. You couldn't even fill your stadium for home games, for crying out loud.
Yeah. So it's one of those places, one of those meccas where,
they managed to get a lot of top free agents together. In a kind of win all or win nothing type of thing. So
okay,
will they be this good yet next year? No.
So you know, you're you don't think they'll be back?
I don't think.
What
they'll
about
be
Cincinnati?
Back now I think Cincinnati will. I think.
Am I right or am I not right? When that Cincinnati player scored that touchdown, did he not grab the face mask of the defender?
Yeah, but you know what?
They missed that call, didn't they?
On both sides, that happens.
I know.
You know, for one play, it happens there, and then the other play, it's...
But how did that ref miss that one, do you think?
His back was to it.
Okay.
You know?
So, overall, you were not pleased with the game, it sounds like.
It's okay.
All right. Okay, my friend, good. Let us therefore get to the love songs. And I think this is kind of interesting. This is timeout.com. Somehow they came up. I'm going to tell you that all these love songs are current. I mean, relatively in the rock age as opposed to going back to Bing Crosby. Okay? So top 10 greatest love songs. Here we go. Number 10. We played at the beginning of this show. Something. Mm. By the Beatles. George Harrison wrote the song. He wrote it when he was sort of on the outs with the others. Oh. Yeah, he went away from them for a little while. He went over to Eric Clapton's place and wrote Something. Number 9. Maps by Yeah Yeah Yeah. Do you know that song?
No, I don't.
While the lyrics to this early classic are fairly repetitive, they become almost like a mantra. Okay, I don't know that song. Mm-hmm. All right, number 8. I remember this one, Be My Baby by the Ronettes. Be my mm-hmm. baby. That was a good song. The Ronettes had a series of songs that were kind of love songs mm-hmm. like that. All right, number 7. God Only Knows by the Beach Boys.
I thought you said these were going to be current.
I said they're within the rock period. I'm talking as opposed to...
Jeez.
I'm talking, I'm talking as opposed to Bing Crosby, all right? Or Frank Sinatra, or Al Jolson, or I don't know who else. Anyway, rock era. They're kind of rock era, okay? You remember God Only Knows by the Beast Boys?
No.
You don't?
No.
God Only Knows.
Okay. Nope.
Number 6. Let's Stay Together by Al Green.
Mm-hmm.
You know that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 1971 song. All right, number 5. This was a good song. I hear it on the oldies stations from time to time. At Last by Etta James. We're going to have to play that sometime.
Ugh.
You know the song?
I know the song, but it was ruined about 10 years ago.
By whom?
That was an inaugural dance by somebody.
Really?
Yeah.
They ruined it. So you got bad feelings.
At Last. Yeah, whatever. 8 years of At Last.
Okay. Number 4. Slow Show by The National. I have no idea.
No.
The National is a band best known for its alternatively stated and ravaged examination of existential dread and anxiety. Oh, my God. All right, number 3. The Righteous Brothers' Unchained Melody.
Yeah, of course, everybody knows that.
Love that song, right? Everybody remembers that. Okay, one of those guys died. I think the other guy's still around. The guy that had the high pitch, you know, there's one guy was the deep voice, and the other guy was the high voice. The high voice guy died. Deep voice guy, I think, is still alive. All right, number 2. Love Me Like You Do by Ellie Goulding. Do you know that one?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
I'm not sure that... I don't know. This category's kind of drifting, but good.
Oh, you're getting a little critical of me.
Well, I tell you who the number 1 better be, because it's got...
It's not going to be.
Huh?
I bet it's not. But let's find out. What do you think will be number 1?
According to every survey that's ever been done, love songs, Valentine's Day has always been, the top song has always been Whitney Houston, I'll Always Love You.
I think it should be number 1, as opposed to this, okay? It's not what this is. This magic moment.
Oh, come on.
By the Drifters. I know. I'm just reading what they told me.
Somebody's either drinking or...
I agree.
Smoking a crack pipe or something on that list right there. That's just horrible.
It is horrible.
Good Lord.
But I wanted to come up with some sort of love song thing, and I found it. So I thought I'd do this. Anyway, we thank you so very much on this Valentine's Day. Despite the list, we hope
and
you
And here's a good one. We'll go out with Martina McBride's Valentine.
All right, that sounds great. We'll be back on Wednesday, and remember, freedom works.
No words, no way to speak. I would still hear you if there were no tears, no way to feel inside. I'd still feel for you.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kathan.
После того, как американцы разрушили
Russia's foreign minister with Vladimir Putin right